Okay, you're being recorded in two ways now.
Okay, Lisa. Ask your question.
Okay,
recording in progress.
Can the board and staff see and hear? If so, give me a thumbs up. Okay. Can members of the public see and hear? And there is no members from the public here. It's all staff or board members. All right, Lisa, we're good.
Okay, and don't forget, it's here, permission to record. I call the October 19, 2021 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Great, it's 7:01. Commissioner Boren?
Here, permission to record.
Commissioner Covey?
Here, permission to record.
Commissioner Schneider?
Here, permission to record.
Commissioner Spain?
Here, permission to record.
President Brooks?
Here, permission to record.
Excellent.
Okay. Consent agenda items A through E are routine. Recommended motion. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items? Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
Second.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. On to matters from the public. It is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit comments to 3 minutes per person. Lisa, do you have any emails to read?
And we're no longer doing the emails. They have to present in person to read their own statements. So, no.
Okay. Well, there you go. Okay. So then we shall move on to the financial report. 7 months of the fiscal year is complete. John will provide a synopsis of the report.
Thank you, President Brooks, and good evening, everybody. So, starting here with the financial report, first three pages, again, are kind of a summary of the cash and investment balances. Not too much to really note from that standpoint. Interest rates still very low. Most of our investment certificates of deposits are, as those are maturing, we're getting those into just liquid investments at this point. And really working with our investment advisors to see what the best course of action would be in this current interest rate environment. Just a reminder, Senate Bill 273 did expand our options, so staff is continuing to evaluate that, and we'll continue to do so and see what we can do in this current interest rate environment. With that, we'll get into the financial analysis for the current month. And you might notice that the report looks actually a little different this month. I did add just a couple extra columns here to show what the amounts were as of the prior month, so as of 8/31 in this case, and then just a variance column all the way to the right. So you could just kind of see the movement from one month to the next and, you know, easily identify some large fluctuations from one month to the next. So just going down department by department here. So direct department revenue continues to look very strong this year. Obviously 2020 was the COVID year, so our 2021 results are more in line with pre-pandemic levels. About 66,000 increase in revenue, which a big chunk of that was the Kids Club revenue for the month of September. Not a whole lot to speak of from an expense side in the rec department. Looking at daycare, again, it looks very good year to date. We do have that $86,000 grant in the top line number for revenue. As a reminder, we also are expecting that additional $65,000 in grant revenue, which we discussed last month, related to the child care restoration grant. We did not receive any of those funds in the month of September, but we do expect to receive that within the fiscal year. The fitness department stays right around break even, not a whole lot to speak to on that one. Beach and boating, so we'll see a little revenue continue to trickle in. I think that's mainly boat storage fees for the month of September. Expenses related to salaries, utilities, and the G&A allocation, those are going to continue to post every month, but nonetheless, we're still on track to do significantly better than what we had budgeted for each of those departments. Watts, again, not a lot to speak to regarding Watts, just the salaries and G&A allocation that's going in there from an expense perspective. Obviously, we're going to get ramped up within the next month there, Watts. G&A department, the change from the prior month there mainly represents insurance and salary expense. Parks department, the increase in expense there from the prior month, the Duke Park water bill is in there, and then some landscaping expenditures in there. And then finally down at the bottom for the TACUS department, so we did finally receive some of our second installment property tax revenue in the month of September. That made up a bulk of that $307,000 increase in revenue, and now you'll see we're a lot more in line with where we were in the prior year as we did get those property tax revenues. And just a reminder from an expense side, in the TACUS fund, we did not make that Fund 69 transfer this year, whereas in the prior year, there was about $850,000, which is why we've had the big difference in expenses from 2021 to 2020. Staff is continuing to work through the budget, so we're really getting into it now, mainly projections and first round of the program budgets. And staff's also discussing capital projects in the next week. I have included a copy of our budget timeline for the fiscal 23 budget in the packet tonight. Not a whole lot of deviation from the cycle in the prior year, obviously just backing into the dates that we have toward the beginning of our next fiscal year when we're filing everything, legally filing everything and posting everything. So that covers it, I think, for the financial report. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Any questions for John?
Hey, John, just a quick one. Maybe this is better for Bobby. When you look at the daycare and you're looking at, you know, the increase in revenue, and obviously a lot of that's from the grants, you're also looking at a big increase in costs, almost 10% year over 2 years. Is that mostly related to additional students, additional sort of direct expenses, or is that a lot of it related to sort of COVID-related, you know, masks and PPE and extra cleanings and things like that? Like, what's driving that 10% increase in expense? From, if I look at, you know, $716,000 in daycare versus almost $800,000 this year, but a 10 to 15% increase.
So 6% is going to be salary compared to 2019. 6% is going to be salary adjustments for full time, on part time, yep. Adjustments due to minimum wage. You're also going to have some capital items that go underneath that budget. So, you know, some buggies, some equipment replacements. So it's not up necessarily apples to apples, but a lot of it is wages. As you know, the wages make up a majority of that, and also G&A.
Got it. It's a little bit opposite, though, Bobby, of sort of the wages in the rec department, although that could just be because of a switch from wages to contractual, right?
But, Commissioner Kobe, you're dead right. That's exactly what happened. It's a little deceiving, but it's timing of payments for contractual and the move towards using more contractual providers as well.
Got it. Okay. Hey, thank you for that.
All right. Anyone else? Okay.
It's nice to see that the fitness center has come back a little bit. Even though it's still a break even, it's come back, which is nice. And I like the format of this report. It's very clear.
Good. That's good feedback.
Me too. Okay. We will then begin our discussion on employee health insurance options. Lisa Shepherd and John will review options and the staff recommendation.
All right. First, I'd like to say that John and Becky did a phenomenal job working through all the Proderma options that were provided and really looking for what's the best outcome for our employees and the district. And so with that said, I'm going to turn it over to John to just briefly go over some of the information and leave it open for questions from the board.
Yep, great. Thank you, Lisa. So obviously we're with Proderma. This is we had signed back on with Proderma for a three-year cycle in July of 2020. So Proderma had some significant changes this year. They specifically in the PPO network, it went from the Aetna Signature Administrators network and using HealthSmart as a third-party administrator there as a TPA. They shifted that all over to Blue Cross Blue Shield. Blue Cross Blue Shield is also going to be the TPA, so there's no the claims administrator, so there's no third-party administrator involved there. So they're going to realize some cost savings from that standpoint. So as we look at it, no employee who was enrolled in the PPO last year is going to have that same PPO because Proderma has made the switch now from that Aetna Signature Administrators to the Blue Cross Blue Shield PPO. Proderma did offer some additional options this year, which we really took a very close look at. So in the prior year, we had offered employees the HMO plan, the $500 PPO deductible, and then the $1,250 deductible PPO with a $1,000 HRA. So we took a look at all of those plans this year and kind of what the cost would be if everybody had enrolled in the same type of insurance. And then we compared that to, you know, if we changed a few things. And specifically what we looked at is that high deductible plan and the ability to offer that. And if we offered that, what would we take away? And ultimately what we recommend we remove from the mix to make room for that high deductible plan with health savings accounts is to remove that $500 deductible PPO plan. And really the thought is that all the currently enrolled employees in that plan would likely move over to the $1,250 deductible with the $1,000 HRA plan. And what that's going to do for the, it's kind of a win-win. When you look at it, it would likely reduce cost to the district because we're taking on more of a variable cost now in the form of that HRA, that health reimbursement account. And it's also a win for the employee because their deductibles are actually going to decrease in this plan compared to if they were enrolled in that $500 PPO plan. Families will realize a $750 annual reduction in deductible. A single individual would realize a $250 decrease in that deductible. So it's the exact same PPO network that they would have had access to had it been the $500 PPO. It's just a lower deductible now to them in that PPO Blue Cross Blue Shield network, and it's also likely going to result in savings to the district, which is dependent on the utilization within the health reimbursement accounts. From a vision perspective, actually, before I get into the vision, I'll just point out we really didn't slightly raise the employee premiums on the HMO just to stay in line with the 5% increase this year, but nothing too drastic. The high deductible health plan and the HRA, we kept those consistent given there was pretty much flat, a 0.78 overall decrease, so we left those flat. The district has not traditionally offered vision coverage. We did incorporate that into the benefit package for this year. We thought that would be a nice option for those employees that would benefit from that at a pretty minimal cost to the district. And one other thing that we're going to incorporate into our open enrollment this year is just making sure that employees are aware of the opportunity of for a buyout option as it relates to health insurance. So as we talked with other districts and surveyed what's going on with some of our peer districts, we did realize that a lot of them are offering some form of a buyout if an employee goes with an alternative insurance plan, their spouses, whatever it might be. And to help incentivize them or make that decision a little easier to choose that alternative plan, we're proposing to incorporate a buyout option, which is going to be tiered based on the coverage that they'd be receiving. So we're at $1,750 for a single individual. Employee plus one would be at $3,500, and then a family would be at $5,100 in the form of an insurance buyout, paid out over the course of the year, over the 26 pay periods in calendar year 2022. So that kind of covers it. A lot of information I know in this memo. Just tried to kind of summarize it at a higher level, and if there's any questions, I'd be happy to address those.
Is this buyout option just for the year? Like, let's say, like, they say, okay, I won't take it this year, but then the following year they do. Is that how it is, or is it like you have to not go back on it?
No, so it is an annual election, and it's a non-compounding amount. We can obviously have, that's up to the district's discretion as to what that amount's going to be on an annual basis, but it is an annual election.
But it's still obviously savings for the district, or you wouldn't do it.
Significant savings for the district, yes.
Okay.
Any other comments?
I know, Lisa, we had trouble connecting, and so I'll keep these hopefully pretty brief.
Sure.
I think, do we have an idea of how much a buyout really incents people to not go on our plan, as opposed to, hey, look, I wasn't going on your plan anyway. Because as I look across the chart, the only exception I see is the Zion one that's higher than ours for a family. Like $5,000 plus is a good chunk of money that it could be what I call dilution. It could be, they weren't going to take it anyway, and so we're paying someone $5,000 to do something they would have normally done. Do we have any idea about what people just aren't going to take our insurance anyway because they're on a wife's plan or a husband's plan or some other plan?
Yeah. Michael, I think we have maybe one or two employees that are likely in that bucket. So the amount that we came up with this year, it really, we tried to align it with the premiums, with the annual premiums, and we got it right around that 20% is what we are aiming for. And I know a few of these, I spoke to the directors of finance at some of these other districts, and some of these plans, I know one of the 1,500, 3,000, and 4,500 plans is about 5 years old now. And I was actually talking to him, he said initially they had, I think, four people taking the buyout, and over the course of 5 years, they're up to nine now. Yeah. So we really wanted to try to incentivize, because even one, two, we're looking at significant savings, because most of the folks that are taking these buyouts are likely going to be family coverage. So if you're pulling a family PPO off of our insurance bill, it's going to have a significant effect. And
yeah, I imagine if I'm thinking about my world where both my wife and I are covered. And apologies for a sample size of one, but I'm imagining I would take the I basically have the park districts be paying for my premiums at my wife's company, right? That's I imagine how the math works for a family. It just seems the two things that struck me here is, one, it's a high amount for a family. I don't know if we need to go that high, although we can certainly try it for a year and see how it goes. Although it's always easier to increase it than to decrease it from historical experience. One thing, the second thing I noticed is really, besides Deerfield, there is nothing in our area. These are all pretty distant from us. No Winnetka, no Wilmette, no Northfield, no Northbrook, no Glenview. Why is that? Why is that, John?
Yeah, we could expand the scope here. I want to say, I'd have to work with those other districts to see what they are offering. I know this was a document that we were able to pull this to get this information together. From kind of a group chat that we have amongst all of our peers, and this was kind of an ongoing document that so I can't speak to kind of the sample size that ultimately landed here in this district specifically, but could certainly expand the scope on the other districts
Yeah, I don't think you have to. I was just curious as to, you know, if they were missing for a specific reason. But, you know, my personal take on this is that you guys are aiming, I think it's the absolute right initiative. I think there's two ways to do this. One is you can penalize people who are eligible on other plans, which is what I've seen companies do. So if you and your family are price X, but if your spouse is eligible, it's actually a higher price. So you can either carrot or stick. And I think what you guys are doing is a carrot, and I think the carrot is a reasonable way to go. Personally, I think this is a lot of carrots. And I think it's a little high in the market, you know, 10% higher than Urbana or Woodridge. You know, you're more than double than Carroll Stream. Under market for you know, that 8,300 that you see in Zion. But in general, it's at the high end. I'm curious what the other commissioners think, if they think this is the right amount, or if they think this is also kind of pushing the envelope a little bit in terms of expense.
I think it's a good approach, but I guess my follow-up question really is, are the park district's benefits better? I'm thinking that perhaps a lot of the spouses' plans are either have higher monthly premiums or weaker coverage, and that's why the incentive would be needed to choose a different plan. Do you have any context into, you know, perhaps our plan is more generous than these other districts or private sector plans? And to what extent would an incentive actually, in that, you know, analysis, you know, break even for a family? Do we have any idea?
I can tell you.
Yeah, so in terms of understanding, I guess, what we're competing against the private sector, you know, I don't know if we have that insight now, and, you know, certainly something we could try to gather some intel on. And, you know, you would, I think our plan is probably comparable. I think you alluded to the fact that possibly the premiums would be higher. In terms of coverage, I think that is likely going to be pretty comparable to what the private sector is able to offer. It's just what the private sector would be offering in terms of premiums. And I think that is going to vary, especially, you know, in considering the labor market right now and where things are at. You know, we could certainly do a little more digging there to see what other options are out there outside of the governmental and park district realm.
But I mean, in general, I think it's cost savings for the district, and it makes a lot of sense.
Anecdotally, I just did like a little sample out to just a small sample of employees, and with this incentive, it's only about a $250 gain for the employee, but it's still about $250. So we are close. I think if we lowered any lower, you'll get less people taking us up on that offer. So I think the way John figured it out was, you know, pretty good measurement of what we need to do.
Yeah, I guess, like, Michael's
playing the math there, Lisa. Sorry.
When employee figured out how much they would have to pay, the difference of premiums and deductibles and things like that, they said, you know, to switch over and get that incentive of $5,000, they gain about $250 by going on to their husband or wife's plan.
It was one person did that math.
It was just definitely a sample. Just
okay,
a sample.
That.
Yes, exactly. I just, you know, we were trying to figure it out, and yeah.
I'm going to make just one real quick comment, 2 points. One is, thank you, Michael, for asking for a pulse from the other commissioners. How do they feel about it? Because we're just sort of looking at a very small sample here, and I guess my comment is, it's not enough of a, there aren't enough data points to say ours is on the high end, just because there are just not that many representative communities. I will also say that I think I like to look at it from the employee's point of view. First of all, insurance buyout is getting to be more and more common. So, you know, although we haven't looked at, you know, 50 state park districts or whatever, I do think that in the private sector it is getting to be more common. And so from an employee's point of view, it's a benefit. And I do think that if you are not taking insurance, you are
not receiving a benefit that your colleagues are receiving. So therefore, I do believe it is fair and reasonable to expect to get some of that back. So just even just looking at it in fairness, and I, even if, and this is a really good, you know, kind of question, even if we are on the high end, I think it's reasonable because we're trying to incentivize people in a tight labor market. So if we're trying to incentivize them, this, I would like to err on the side of maybe being more generous. So that's the, and I know it is hard to kind of push things down, but as Lisa said, maybe this gets rolling, employees talk to each other, and maybe then it'll be maybe one the first year, maybe 5 years down the road it'll be four or something like that. I mean, who knows? Could be. But I'm good with it. I like it.
Yeah, I like the concept a lot. I don't really have a problem with it. I'm not going to vote no on this. It did strike me as we were a little bit out of market. Maybe that's what we want to do. Maybe we want to be a little bit more generous. But if you look at the last seven rows, you'll see we are by far the highest, which is not a terrible thing. So I'm simply pointing out what the sheet says.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Bart or Stephanie, any comments?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with it. I think it's a difficult time for finding more people, and I like the idea of giving people choices. Choices seem to add value. Do I take this insurance, or do I use my spouse's insurance, and then I get a benefit from it? Lisa Brooks's comments I pretty much align with. I think it's a good time to be a little bit generous, and you know, I respect John's analysis, and I think he's saying we should make a profit. This should be a financial plus for us to do this while we're being generous at the same time, or at least fair, fully fair with our employees. So I'm on board with it.
And Stephanie, you're good?
I'm good.
Great. Okay. If there are no more comments or questions about insurance, we will move on. The next item on our agenda, presentation of the summer camp annual report.
Lisa, just one quick question. How many people, John, do you guys, how would you measure success here? Would you measure it one family this year, three families next year, five, or would you measure it, you know, you want three or more later on?
So, Michael, one this year would certainly, I think, be successful, and we'd achieve cost savings just from one.
Got it.
And it's certainly seeing where that goes then.
One incremental or one? How many people don't take insurance right now?
We're at three people that do not take insurance right now.
About 10%?
Yes, approximately.
You want to move to 12, 13%, something like that.
That would be great initially, yes, and that would realize us cost savings, just that one coming off. So.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, so we will ask Bobby, Stephanie, Shannon, and Amanda to present the summer camp report.
Evening, everybody. Can everybody see the PowerPoint? Great. I'm just going to introduce Stephanie, Shannon, and Amanda, who are camp program managers and supervisors, to go through the 2021 summer camp report.
Bobby, I can only see the phone. There we go. So first, we're going to start off and talk about our staff training. Amanda will discuss preschool camps. I will talk about Sun Hunt and Camp Adventure. Shannon will talk about Action Quest and specialty camps. Amanda and myself will talk about counselor and training. And Bobby will discuss survey results, participation, and the financial trends for camp this summer. So we were really excited. We were able to bring training back in person this year from Zoom the year before, so it made it a little bit more personal. Our training consists of 24 hours of training, starting with first aid and CPR, taught by myself, Shannon, and Anthony, moving into leadership training with our directors and our head counselors, moving into camp training where we go over policies and procedures with all of our camp staff, and then moving into more site-specific training where they'll learn more specifically about the camp that they're working with they'll do some team building, and then we'll be able to set up camp for the first day.
So for our preschool camps, we have our Bears camps. New for this year, we hired a baby bear director. This program was designed to directly feed into ELC2s. So we used ELC2's teacher to try to build the bonds with the patrons and the campers that go into that. It also gives parents opportunities to build bonds and make first friends. We also were able to join some of the Tots and Toons that came to take up. We were able to monitor the level of participation and then offer to a few camp groups if we were able to social distance and outside. We also had a weekly entertainer and water day for the Bears camps. In the future, we would like to do additional in-house performers. One of the spots that we found was lacking is some of the programs for Bears camps are Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday. So there were some weeks that children may have missed water day or the in-house performer, so we want to make sure that everybody gets the chance to do those things. For our Kinder Corner camp, we added a support staff, which was a floater. This person was added to basically help relieve staff if somebody called out or if they needed a bathroom break. We had to switch staff around really quickly. They were able to go in the classroom and help out. All of the performers this year for our Kinder Corner camp were part of our weekly theme, so it could range anything from Music Mania to Pirates and Princesses. For example, when we had a Pirate and Princess Week, we hired a Pirate and Princess performer, and then they were able to give our campers Pirate and Princess training lessons. Next year, we're looking to utilize more of our local parks. One of the very favorite things that our campers did this year was go to Duke Park. They had a blast, so we want to bring in more local parks and more walking trips. Again, we want to do more weekly in-house performers or entertainers for our Kinder Corner, and then utilize some of the people that we already have on staff to do specialty and bi-weekly specialty enrichments. So that could be working with a ceramics program or working with Coach Merriam to bring in some of those things that maybe just will spice camp up a little bit. And then we're looking to collaborate with some of the other camps. So Stephanie and Shannon, they had some programs this year that they did together. They were themed like bounce houses or special carnival days. So bringing that in so that early childhood camps can come in the morning hours when they're less busy, utilize that equipment, and then we can split the cost three ways. For preschool summer beginning and summer's end, we did an around the world theme and bee theme, which is a little bit less traditional than we've done in the past. The bee theme was really fun. It coincided with the honeybee theme for Children's Circle, so those campers were able to participate in the bee theme and able to see the bees in action with our Glencoe beekeeper. They were able to come in and see bees in the bee box. For next summer, trying to bring it back more to the safety town feel, and getting some summer safety-focused speakers. And then Sun Fun Camp is going to include kindergarten summer's end. So some of the campers at the end of the year, we've realized, could really benefit into a preview of what the Sun Fun Camp is going to be for them next year. And it also helps them better transition to kindergarten.
So Sun Fun and Camp Adventure looked a little bit different this year than it has in years past. We completely removed field trips due to COVID. We just wanted to make sure we kept those kiddos safe. So we really tasked our staff this year to create a really structured schedule, create new and innovative special event ideas, and we went above and beyond with that. We incorporated our contractors that we used during the school year, Miss Natalie, Amazing Minds, Mad Science, to incorporate and enhance Camper's Choice and Club Days for Camp Adventure. This gave our independent contractor some exposure as well, which could help in enrollment during the school year, and also allow campers an opportunity to try an activity where they might not have felt comfortable during the school year, they feel comfortable at camp to step out and try that new activity. For Camp Adventure specifically, we're trying to work on differentiating the two between Sun Fun and Camp Adventure. So Camp Adventure had their own theme days throughout the week, crazy hair day, crazy sock day, things like that, that kind of helped differentiate Camp Adventure from Sun Fun. They also participated in innovative group bonding activities. there was a camp war where it was girls versus boys. They were doing trivia questions. The counselors really enjoyed trying to find trivia questions that stumped all of the kiddos. The boys unfortunately lost both sessions, which the girls absolutely loved, and they still are talking about it, which I think is fantastic. For next summer, we want to continue to incorporate those contractors to assist with Campers Choice and Camp Adventure Club. We do hire our staff that have specialty skills like soccer and basketball and things like that, but it's also really nice to bring in somebody that has that specialty and help teach somebody something new or help develop that love for that activity. We really want to streamline parent communication, make sure everything is clear and consistent. We want to continue to develop that structured daily schedule that we made for the campers and create designated travel days. So we're going to hopefully bring back one field trip a week where Star Fun will travel on one day and Camp Adventure will travel on another to continue that consistent daily schedule. For summer's end this year, we created some new special event days that campers didn't participate in when they were in our traditional camp. This summer we had a lot of campers that were in camp from the beginning of June till the end of August. So to repeat some of those special event days wouldn't have been as exciting for them. We also got some new kiddos in summer's end that didn't join us in camp during our traditional camp time. So it was nice to be able to capture them and show them how fabulous our camp programs are. We also incorporated those contractors to assist in scheduled activities to try to spice it up and add something new to their day. And they visited the beach twice, where they were able to do things at the beach that they might not necessarily do. Their swimming abilities were a little bit better, so they were able to do things on the water, things like that. For next summer, we would love to continue the consistent communication, make sure parents get it in an appropriate time and it's clear and concise. We want to add field trips to places that campers didn't visit during the summer. As much as they love those water parks, Hidden Creek, Wheeling Water Park, we do travel to those places quite frequently during the summer, so it's nice to be able to introduce a brand new field trip to them. And then also include our kindergarten campers to include them in summer's end so they aren't shocked when they come to camp next summer.
That's a good idea.
So I'm here to talk about Action Quest and two of our specialty camps. The main attraction for Action Quest is going on field trips, but due to COVID, we didn't know how people would feel about sending their kids on field trips. So prior to camp starting, we sent out a parent survey gauging their comfort, and the results of the survey basically said they were comfortable with their kids going on field trips as long as they were outside, so not going to arcade, but going to a Chicago Cubs game. And also following social distancing on the buses if we could and wearing masks. So Action Quest is able to go on field trips this summer. Two of the special camps that we run at the Park District is Sports Track and Game On Sports for Girls Camp. We have seen higher enrollment in these specialty camps. For Sports Track this summer, we offered a full week compared to 4 days during COVID. COVID, Sports Track saw very high numbers because it was the only camp truly running at that time, or one of the few camps running at that time. So we saw very high enrollment, and this summer, due to traditional camps opening up, we saw a dip. We stayed in line with that margins though. Game On Sports for Girls was new in 2020 as well. We only ran 4 weeks, two of the 4 weeks ran. This summer, we decided to run it for 10 weeks, and we saw steady enrollment in all 10 weeks. Game On Sports for Girls has a regional draw. About 60% of campers were Bunco residents, and 40 were non-residents. So we got that non-resident attraction from surrounding communities. So we are looking to explore a boys-only camp with Game On this summer to replace Sports Track, but we have to see how it shakes out.
So I oversee our full-day CIT program, and those CITs are fed into our Sun Fun and Camp Adventure program. Amanda oversees our half-day CIT program, and those CITs are fed into our Bears Camp and Kindergartner Camp program. So for our full-day CITs this year, we decided to have them have a classroom training day. So they had two classroom training days where they would participate in a curriculum that was designed by Coach Jen, where they would learn a skill or they would learn something about working with school-aged children. And then 3 days a week, they would be able to practice what they learned with their assigned group. The CITs really enjoyed that classroom day. They felt like they were able to learn a lot. They were able to ask questions of their peers and kind of ask about things that are happening in their group in a safe place where they can all learn. The CITs were also babysitter trained. They were Red Cross babysitter trained, and they went through that Red Cross babysitter certification. And it's kind of nice that the CITs at the end of the summer were able to say that they're Red Cross trained. They obviously made some connections with the campers, hopefully, so they could take that outside of camp and be a safe babysitter and a good representative of the Glencoe Park District. For next summer, I'm going to work with Amanda, and hopefully we're going to have our CITs be able to apply for camp and have a one-on-one interview. An interview is a really great thing for them to be able to practice, and we really hope to be able to have these CITs feed through our program. So start out the CITs and become counselors and head counselors and hopefully directors. I hope to work with Amanda to create a curriculum with some benchmarks for our CITs and create team building opportunities and bring in speakers to really enhance our program.
For the half-day CITs this year, we had a director come in specifically for the half-day CITs for preschool. One of the things we realized was it's a lot different working with preschoolers versus the youth camps. So we wanted somebody that could go into the classroom and really observe and see what our CITs are doing so that they can have any questions answered or the CIT director can guide them. The CITs also had two daily meetings, once in the morning. That was to get ready for their day, to see what was going to be happening in the daytime and what the challenges they were going to face. And then they also met right before they left every day to reflect on what happened in the day and talk about anything that maybe was going on or they'd like to change or just maybe a little lesson on relaxation or taking care of yourself. For next year, I plan on having more consistency with Stephanie's CIT programs and then have more team building activities and special events. Probably my biggest surprise for the summer was that the CITs, the half-day CITs, didn't actually want to leave to go on any special adventures themselves. They really just wanted to stay in the class or the camp rooms with the campers. So trying to motivate them with some really special things to get them to bond with each other instead of just the campers.
Great. You can see we were busy this summer. Saline Aquatics Camp is one of our camps, but will be discussed next month as part of the beach report, which we'll present to the board in November. So as usual, we did a survey to our traditional camps at the end of the summer. We did get a sample size that was less than 50% of traditional year pre-COVID. So only just under 50 people responded. Normally we're north of 100. So I think that we could read into that people were happy. People, when they're happy, tend to, you know, not respond. Unhappy people tend to respond. So we did get our usual responses to why you register your child for camp. The three takeaways were they wanted to be with their friends, the fees were reasonable, and the time and the days fit. So again, we target working families, people who need the care, and families tend to sign up for our camps for those reasons, as well as being with their friends. We did ask people to rate all the different areas from camp activities to hours to facility to program costs, and everything other than cost of program was up over 2019. It's interesting that cost of program actually contradicts what's said later in another question, but you can see that staff, obviously our training is working, staff courtesy, competency, knowledge, and accessibility all improved in a positive direction. And then you'll see there the camp operating hours. People really think we do a great job being there for working families.
Bobby, you think that's a perception thing, that people were just willing to pay to have some sense of normalcy with camp, and so the cost of the program just they perceived it to be lower, or do you think it's an actual...
I think the sample size was low.
It was.
Asking, okay. As you know, when you ask people if good value for money or if things are too expensive, people will always tell you everything's too expensive. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, we did drop the price for a lot of our camps because we weren't doing field trips this year. So we were trying to keep, yeah.
look, maybe
so that could be a little bit. So we'll see those go up again next year as we add field trips back in.
Yep. Okay.
So when we asked, would you register your child for camp again? We saw an increase 83% compared to 80% in 2019. Some of the comments were, my child's going to outgrow the program. They're going to go to sleepaway camp. They're looking to do something different. Nothing that stood out as a major challenge. This is the question I was referring to. How would you rate your value of the camp in relation to the fees? The value was higher compared to 2019, even though the fees were less than the previous question. So just interesting that we are still providing very good value, not over 92%. Excellent or good for fees.
Hey, Bobby, how does that contradict the previous one? It seems like it goes hand in hand with it, right?
So it's saying here that the value is better.
Right.
So back here, you'll see that the cost of the program was rated better value here on the right side. You see the one?
What's the question this one's answering? Like, is the program cost effective? If the answer is...
Rating your satisfaction with the cost of the program.
Oh, this is satisfaction. I thought this was like, hey, is the program too expensive?
This is the cost, so...
Okay.
So it's, this one's weighted as slightly trickier than the other one.
Yeah. The way the question is asked makes a big difference.
It does. It does. So overall, attendance was strong this year, even with COVID. All of our camps on the budgeting side exceeded budgeted net surplus. They were very strong. We saw really strong enrollment and financial performance in Game On and Sailing and Aquatics Camp. As we've talked about over the last 4 or 5 years, we see continued interest in specialty camps, and we're adapting for that. As we talked about Game On potentially doing a sports camp for boys and getting that regional draw so that we can run camps above minimums. We're also seeing the revenue growth really coming from the full day options we're providing. So that's where we're seeing a lot of the growth. You see, we broke $1 million on the revenue side this year. A lot of it's coming from the specialty camps and people signing up for full day offerings rather than half day offerings. When we look at the actual demographics, the top orange line here is the school enrollment. So that's been pretty consistent over the last number of years. Our total enrollments has also been pretty consistent. We measure that as our benchmark. Another way of doing it is to look at unique enrollments. We're at about 350 unique enrollments, but we find it's more accurate to look at the total number of enrollments. So we're pretty consistent with previous years. That revenue growth is really coming from those programs where it's a higher dollar price, like the Game On or the extended day. Instead of doing it at 9 to 3, they're doing a 7 to 6:30. So just to conclude, we have a lot of things to look at for next year. We're working on that right now. We are looking to incorporate a camp app, which we've been demonstrating, which is more of a right wheel option, so that parents rely less on emails because we found that they're just getting lost in their inbox. So that's something we're looking innovatively to streamline communication. And we're doing a lot of planning right now. So I just open it up to any questions that commissioners may have.
Okay. I know last year there was a lot of comments in the beginning before camp started about not having the friendship request. So I was just wondering if staff would consider bringing that back, maybe just for one child if it's a mutual request, just because it seems important to the community. I know there's positives and negatives on both sides of that issue, but just wanted to raise it.
We can definitely talk about it. There was half a dozen comments for sure. I think one of the benefits of the summer, everybody made a lot more friends, which people commented at the end that was a pleasant, they weren't expecting that. We can discuss it to see if there's option. It makes it very challenging for group dynamics when we do have people who are friends outside and cliques form. So that makes it very difficult for other individuals in the camp too. But we can definitely discuss it in our camp planning sessions to see if it's doable.
And I think, unfortunately, even when kids don't know each other, those cliques form anyway, just to say. And I know some of that was solved because there was only one group for certain grades, and so it became a non-issue, but it will continue to be an issue with certain parents. So just wanted to throw it out there.
We'll look to see if there's more creative ways to solve that with the groups as well. I know in the Sailing and Aquatics, we've actually talked about that already, ways of maybe improving that, make them naturally removing those requests, because we actually get a lot of parents request not to be with individuals, which makes it challenging, because a parent might say, well, I asked for that person. We can't tell them, hey, that person actually requested to not be with your child. So it puts us in a very difficult spot.
It also, Stephanie, sometimes we get so many friendship requests for one group. So, like, for some fun and camp adventure, we try to make them as even as we can. And our friendship requests in the past, we've had, like, I would request you and you would request me back. Parents don't necessarily follow that, but the groups would get so lopsided that it was hard to divide and conquer because so many people are linked to so many other people.
Yeah, and definitely always saying it's not guaranteed, you know, for sure. And in writing, because I had some complaints that, well, they didn't say it was in writing, or it wasn't on the form, or it was a change from last year. So I get it. I know it's a tough issue, but I know that it's important for parents when they're choosing a camp, and you don't want to miss the opportunity. You know, we don't want to, like, have them go elsewhere. Can you also tell, what was the enrollment for Game On? I know it's high, but just curious, the exact enrollment for this year compared to last year. And I know it's hard with the COVID year. Maybe even, did we have it in 2019?
No. We didn't have it in 2019. Okay, we brought it last year. But what happened was we offered it as a Glencoe-only program, but we saw that it would have the start of being something special, so we worked with Game On so that we worked with them on their whole program to their whole Chicagoland area. So there was 145 participants signed up for it versus 10 last year. So they've got a very strong following, and we obviously do after school enrichments with them too. And we're not experts on the specialty sports side, so people clearly want it. So that's where we as a participant have to realize we have to bring in the people who specialize and who are experts in those areas. And we think Game On will probably have more of an appeal on the specialty boys side as well than sports track going forward.
And what percentage do we get of that?
25%. I think we netted 60, I think it was in here, we netted $60,000. Great. Any additional questions or comments?
Staff did an amazing job this summer, so thank you very much for operating a very safe, fun program for all of our youth. So kudos to you all.
Yeah, and thank you to the entire staff. It really comes out in your conversation that you are trying to build the most quality program you can, and that you're being nimble and you're watching what needs to be changed and so forth. And I think it's great. And it was a very good report. Thank you. If there are no other comments on that, we will move ahead to update on strategic initiatives, both long and short-term goals, and Lisa Shepherd will give us that update.
Excellent. So really, since that pandemic hit, we've kind of been slowly plugging away at some of these our initiatives, but really our focus has been on everything COVID and changing regulations and everything like that. So with everything adjusting to our new normal, obviously we still have to pay attention to those different regulations and COVID items. I direct the staff's attention back to our strategic plan and our goals and objectives. So in the board packet, I just wanted to give you an update on what staff has been working on. Everything ties back, all the short-term goals ties back to our strategic plan, so that both the themes, initiatives, and objectives, they all come back and they all relate to how we're trying to solve some of those initiatives with us. So I'm not going to read over them all. I just wanted to give you a quick update on what we've been working on and what's been completed, started. As we start to budget for the next budget year, we take a look at this again, and we look at what other goals we can add to this, what our completed and take off of it, and as we continue to strive to meet all those initiatives. So do you have any questions? Okay.
Any comments or questions? It's, I remember the first year. How long have you been doing this, Lisa? This matrix with this?
Well, this was with the new strategic plan that we just did, what, a couple years ago. So it's a pretty new matrix that we're doing. So, yeah.
I was just thinking it's really advanced from the first year that was presented.
Yeah.
Really fleshed out a lot of these and dug into some of these goals. So
yeah.
Thank you for that. All right, then, Lisa, if you could, the executive director report, please.
Excellent. So I'm just going to hit some highlights. You guys have to start thinking about the IEPD conference and who wants to represent the Park District at the annual meeting. We'll take action on that next month. I will be there, so if you'd like to send me to the meeting, I would be happy to do so, but it's always nice for board members to attend. Also, if you're interested in attending the conference, please let us know also. At this point, they have not announced if it's virtual or in person. I believe they're leaning towards in person. So, and they probably will not do a hybrid. It was not very successful for NRPA, so, but don't hold me to that one. John and I will be attending the IEPD legal symposium on Thursday, November 4th. It's back in person. That's always a really good day-long seminar on all the legal changes and bills that are coming upon us. One of the bills that I was, Jason from IEPD reached out to all the North Shore districts is about the new legislation about swim rings that would have to be put on the beach. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the Chicago Park District drowning and the lack of a ring buoy. So there's new legislation in there. We weighed in on that. While we agree wholeheartedly on having ring buoys, we do have those. There's some things in the legislation that gives us concern, which is mandating that if a door is open, they contact 911, and that there's I believe sirens on there and stuff like that. There's not a lot of infrastructure on our piers and our beaches, a lot of the North Shore, so we're a little concerned about that very expensive unfunded mandate if that passes. So I'll keep you apprised to that as it moves forward for approval. But that's what IEP does when there's these legislations that may affect us. They reach out to us and get our opinion, and we send them back, and then they fight on our behalf to make some changes in the legislation. So, working on that. I was elected to be chair of IPRA in 2023 is when I'll take over chair. I'll be chair-elect in 2022, and then I'll take over that. So, very happy to be serving our association in that manner. I don't think there's anything else. We did do a great all staff or full-time staff meeting and had safe zone conversations with IAPD, IPRA diversity committee. And as you know, that was one of our initiatives after last year's survey, and it went very well. And I know that we'll continue to offer those for other staff members too. We could only bring 40, and early childhood department was in a day-long training of their own, so we hope to bring it back again for that staff to complete that same safe zone conversation. Next Friday, the 29th, we'll have our new and changed boobash out at Cauk Park. If anybody would like to volunteer and get dressed up, just let us know. We have some fun costumes you can participate in. That is one of the events that we did usually in take up. We moved it outside because of COVID regulations, but that is one of our events that all of our full-time staff also work. It's one of our big community events. So if you're not volunteering, we hope you stop by that night. This Friday, get my dates wrong, this Friday, NSSRA will be dedicating their new building right off Lake Cook Road. I know Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Spain, and Commissioner Bourne will all be attending the dedication. on Friday night, and we're glad to see that new building completed and available for our special needs population. And if anybody else can't make the ribbon cutting on Friday, I can always take you for a tour at a different time. We're lucky to have it right around the corner from us. They will still be using all their Park District facilities, including the Glencoe Park Districts, on a regular basis. That does not mean they're moving totally out of our buildings. We will still welcome. They use our building heavily on Fridays, and they will continue to do so, which we're happy to provide that facility space. Other than that, if you have any questions, I'm open to any questions you may have on my report.
Well, Lisa, certainly on behalf of the board, I would like to congratulate you on that gold medal level election to chair of IRPA. That's a pretty big professional accomplishment. And, it looks good for the district. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And also, if Carol and Stephanie need a ride, let me know. I'll pick you up.
Mark, I feel like you and I are underrepresenting the male population of the board.
Our whole family will be at the Boo Bash, so we're looking forward to it.
All right.
Great.
Yeah, Lisa, I don't think Friday night's gonna work because my week is crazy and I don't even know when I'm back to Glencoe. what's the volunteer for the Boo Bash?
Well, we have a lot of different things. You can dress up in a costume if you'd like.
Just tell me, what's the date?
Oh, next Friday, the 29th, I believe. Friday the 29th.
Okay, sign me up for something.
Oh, hear that, Bobby?
Let's go on the list. I'm gonna go as Cody.
I would love to see that, especially his beach outfit.
I'm gonna have to go ride the Peloton just to see Cody and find his glasses after all this. All right.
He's intolerable. No, I'm having it up on next Friday. Let me know.
I mean, if you need an extra hand on good, just let me know.
You appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Then on to the action items. I entertain a motion to approve Truth in Taxation Resolution Number 930 as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Kobe?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the 2022 PDRMA, Pederma Employee Health Insurance Renewal, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Approved.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Spain?
Yes.
And President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Okay, so is there any other business, Lisa Shepherd?
The only thing I'd like to say is that the resolution to sell that property we talked about in committee will be brought in the next board meeting. We have to do a plat of survey that's required to sell, so we have to get that done before we can bring it to the board. So you'll see that hopefully in November if we get that back in time. Other one is I would like to officially recognize the Chicago Sky for their championship.
Nice.
And just know that a lot of those young women playing probably had their start in Park District leagues and clinics and things like that, so it's a proud moment for all women in sports that they brought home a championship to the Chicagoland area. They are our neighbors. They practice in Deerfield Park District's facility, and so we're just so proud of them. So I just had to put it on the record to congratulate them in our little small Park District.
And I never second.
You never do. You never do. That's pretty impressive,
second.
Michael.
Hey, Lisa, going back to your first discussion item.
Yes.
I want to learn from our lessons historically and just be extremely transparent with with neighbors, or at least I'd like to ask the other commissioners how they feel about it as well. But I don't want any sort of surprises when this comes up, you know, neighbors coming saying, you never told us about this land thing. And, you know, can you just outline the process for me from sort of soup to nuts? Like, we agreed with, I don't mean the agreement there. What do we have to do? Anything with the neighbors in the neighborhood?
Technically, no, we do not. I outlined it in our committee packet, but what we do is we put a notice in the paper for 10 days. It's on our committee agenda. We brought it last week to committee, and it was on the agenda, and it will be on the agenda next month to approve. We were following the same process we did with Linden House, and we didn't really have an issue with Linden House, I don't believe. It was more the subdivision. It was more the subdivision of it, right?
Well,
and even with that one, we put up big signs for it. So, you know, you'll always have people that are against selling any part district land for any reason. So if the board would like me to send out letters saying that we're going to be talking or you'll be approving it in November, I'm happy to do so.
I mean, I think it's worthy of a quick discussion. Look, I wasn't around when Linden went on the market. I was around at the sale of it, but this is very different because it's not really usable land. So I'm fine with staff's recommendation. I just want to make sure there's a game plan. You know, if someone comes and says, you guys are absurd and this is not in line, like we say, hey, look, this is in line with our mission. Like what's our game plan for a frustrated customer, for a frustrated resident?
We'll explain the whole procedure, our whole process we went through, and why we came to the conclusion to sell the land. And let's just have a conversation, sit down and have a conversation with any individuals who had come forward. It won't, the sale of this property won't change the experience of them or their property,
right.
In our opinion. So.
Okay. If there is
one question,
okay.
Can you just tell us how many lots passes have sold? I know you put it in an email, but
sure. Bobby, what as of today, how many have sold?
937 residents have purchased passes.
Nice.
That's
so
nice.
We're looking very strong, a lot of enthusiasm towards Watts. Lots of birthday parties, inquiries. So we added, I'm sure you saw, we added some slots there based on the board's feedback. So they can now do that. Lots of interest in Watts. So opens to non-residents at the end of the month. We expect some sales, but it's looking great.
How's that in comparison to last year? Do you know off the top of your
head? About half. We've hit budget, though. We were actually right on what we had budgeted for past sales total. So everything above now will help. Let's just hope the weather is medium. Not too hot, not too cold.
Exactly.
Right.
Hope for medium.
You're in charge of that, Bobby. So that's, you know,
no
weather's
problem.
It's all
if
you.
If Guy can win the championship, we can prepare the
That's
weather.
Right. That's right. So.
Yeah, I'm not certain those are correlated, but I think...
You don't know.
But we're just going to throw it in there.
Okay, now there's probably something else. Is there anything else from anyone? No? Okay, then I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Oh, we're giving that one to Carol.
Yep. Carol gets
yep.
it. Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yeah.
Commissioner Kobe?
Absolutely.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Quick one. Thank
you. All right. Thank you all. Remember our board workshop on Monday, November 1st, in person.
Wait, did that? Sorry, when is the board workshop? Why did I think we changed the date again?
We did. We switched it to... Monday, November 1st.
I have it in my calendar.
6
Monday,
to 9.
November 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah.
6
yep.
to 9.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect.